Penguin Random House Audio presents. Have I told you this already? Stories I don't want to forget to remember. This is the author, Lauren Graham. For Graham, 5. Trip, 3. Kit, 2. Tucker, 1. And all the stories yet to be told. Introduction. Stories have always been important to me. As a kid, I lived for the stories my dad would tell me about his childhood growing up in Valley Stream, New York, where he'd hitchhike home from football practice in his Catholic school uniform. During my first few years of elementary school, I fell in love with reading and would read anything I could get my hands on, as long as it was about a horse, or a girl who had a horse, or a girl who wanted a horse and got one, even if she lived with her family in a small walk-up apartment in Manhattan. Eventually, my interests expanded a bit, and in high school and college and in my graduate acting program, I was thrilled to read everything from Jane Austen to the classics of dramatic literature to breezy novels intended to be read on a beach. When I graduated and first started working professionally here and there, I was excited to act in other people's stories, whether in a laundry detergent commercial or a small guest part on a show. Whether I was a mom who was worried about packing a nutritional lunch, one line in a Jiffy peanut butter commercial, or a student who's being asked about the homework assignment, three lines in the daytime drama Loving, I was living my dream of being a storyteller. Eventually, I got some bigger parts with more complex tales to tell, and now that I'm in my 30s, I'm looking forward to all the stories that are yet to be... Wait, what? The legal department has just informed me that I'm not in my 30s anymore. How is that even possible? It seems like just yesterday that I was lying to all the casting people about being 28 because IMDb hadn't been invented yet and Google wasn't really a thing. It seems like just yesterday that I filmed all day in Los Angeles and then took a red eye to New York in order to do a photo shoot, after which I went to a U2 concert and went out after and flew back the next day and didn't feel tired at all. It seems like just yesterday that on the very day I turned 32, I was cast as Lorelai in Gilmore Girls, a part that would change my life for the better. Oh well. At least we have a brand new season of Gilmore Girls to look forward to, and that way we can relive all the wondrous olden times together. Wait, what? Lawyers have just informed me that there is no new season of Gilmore Girls on the horizon, and I can be sued/canceled on Twitter for suggesting there is. How is that even possible? What is this book even about if I'm not going to explain the final four words or tell you who's the father of Rory's baby? If you've missed Gilmore Girls, the truth is that I've missed you too. And this book is one way of keeping our conversation going. I loved writing my last book of essays, talking as fast as I can. And even without any news stories about the show, I found I had more to say. And if you've never seen Gilmore Girls, then you're in luck, because I'm mainly telling other stories here about stuffing my bra for work, shoplifting by accident, what it's like being in a long-term relationship with New York City. Spoiler, I love it, but it's expensive and doesn't always smell great. Have I told you this already? Is a phrase I use so often it's become a joke among my oldest and dearest friends and family. These are the people who've been there with me through bad breakups and failed exams and questionable haircuts and dinner parties that went into the wee hours, and I've been there through those things with them too. We've heard each other's stories over and over by now, but somehow we still can't wait to hear them again. These are friends who are such an essential part of my life that sometimes it's hard to remember if I've told them something already, or if I've told them but they haven't heard the most recent version, or if they were actually with me when the whatever it was happened. These relationships are invaluable, and as I've gotten older, I only value them more. And you are part of this group, too. You are people with whom I've shared stories for so long now that in some cases I had to go back to my first book to make sure I hadn't told you some of them already. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you how grateful I am to have you as a viewer and a reader and a listener and a gift maker and a whatever the thing is called where you film yourself lip-syncing entire scenes of mine on Instagram. You're all the best. Ne oublie. I'm certain I graduated from college, but I haven't seen my diploma in over 20 years. I can't find the parking ticket I got yesterday. It's probably sitting in the same drawer alongside the one I can't find from last week. At age 14, I remember holding my Social Security card for approximately 5 minutes before I misplaced it and never saw it again. Last week, I found a watch I thought I'd lost months ago inside of a shoe. Perhaps that's why I'm pretty good at memorizing lines of dialogue and people's phone numbers. I can't be counted on to save the paper I wrote them on, and even if I put the info into my phone, it might take me a while to remember where I left it. I lose my phone, my wallet, and my keys multiple times a day. Sometimes I'll go into the kitchen to find that book I've been reading, and 2 hours later I have organized the silverware drawer but have zero recollection of what I came into the kitchen for. One fish goes this way, the other fish goes that way, is how a friend once described these absent-minded tendencies. I am a Pisces, after all. Possibly I got it from my dad. Growing up, I didn't own a set of house keys. He probably lost his own set too many times before he gave up and decided it was easier just to leave the front door open. Please don't break into my dad's house. As a teen, I was taught to leave car keys in the ignition, because how else was anyone supposed to find them? Please don't steal my dad's car. To this day, my father is well known for driving away with a coffee mug still on the roof of his car, and even though everyone in the family has bought him countless pairs of nicer sunglasses, the only ones he seems unable to lose are the neon green mirrored ones intended for road biking. But what my dad has lost in sets of keys, he's made up for with his ability to paint vivid pictures of the past. As a keeper of the objects and details of the present, his record may be spotty, but as a minder of memories, he excels. My father is an excellent storyteller with a tight repertoire. If his stories were songs, he wouldn't have a ton of deep cuts, but he could fill an entire album of greatest hits. As a kid, I lived for the rotation of stories from his own childhood, the time he got separated from his mom in the grocery store and a neighbor found him and brought him home, the day his family became the first on the block to own a television, racing on the beaches of Long Island with his collie, King. Then there was an entire spin-off series about Dad and his childhood friend, Georgie. Dad and Georgie taking the train to Coney Island to ride the Ferris wheel. Dad and Georgie dressing in trench coats and fedoras for their secret club in which they pretended to be Al Capone's henchmen. Dad and Georgie going to the soda shop where they'd sit at the counter after football practice and order an egg cream or a suicide, an ice cream sundae involving a scoop of every available flavor. As I got older, the stories matured as well. There was the one about his senior prom date, Angela, who'd fallen asleep under the sun lamp that day and came to the door beet red and puffy from crying, my father reassuring her he couldn't tell at all. He could tell. And the day he met my mom, as she was moving into his same apartment building, and she asked if he wouldn't mind letting her make a call because her phone hadn't been hooked up yet. The year he spent after college in Vietnam, working for the Agency for International Development, where the local kids would sometimes crawl under a cafe table where he was having lunch and pull at his leg hair, fascinated because they'd never seen such a thing. One of my favorites, one I'd heard over and over since I was little, was about the day I was born. What kid isn't fascinated by their own origin story? My mom was in labor all through the night, it began. In those days, the dad sat in the waiting room and smoked cigars through the whole thing, Mad Men style, so it wasn't until right after I was born that my dad visited my mom in her hospital room and saw me, for the very first time, through the glass of that weird baby-holding area you've probably seen in old movies. After a nurse pointed out which blob was his, my proud dad headed out to get my mom something to eat. Outside, the sun was just coming up, and maybe because it was so early, there were hardly any cars in the parking lot yet. My dad got into his brand new red VW Beetle, and somehow, even though he was driving very slowly, and even though there was plenty of space to navigate around it, plowed directly into a lamppost. As a kid, I found this hilarious. As an adult, it occurred to me this was a story of a very young, new dad who was probably deeply freaked out. But I still found it funny and sweet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?